This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí are seeking help to find a missing teenager who is known to frequent Donegal. HICWA inspectors say they were not assured that residents of a residential centre for people with disabilities in Donegal were kept safe. A defective block homeowner claims he's being discriminated against because he completed remediation work in January 2024. And Donegal has received the highest allocation of LIS funding in the latest tranche. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly, followed by Farming and News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news, Gardaí are seeking help to find a missing teenager who is known to frequent Donegal. 14-year-old Lucy Colley is missing from Ross's Point at County Sligo. She was last seen in Sligo Town Centre at around 5:30 on Monday evening. At the time, she was wearing leggings and a grey hoodie. Lucy is described as being around 5 feet 3 inches in height, with a slim build, red hair and blue eyes. She's known to frequently visit Letterkenny, the Ballymun area of Dublin and County Derry. Anyone with information on Lucy's whereabouts is asked to contact Sligo Garda Station. HICWA inspectors say they were not assured that residents of a residential centre for people with disabilities in Donegal were kept safe. Significant failings in terms of governance and management have been identified at Ballytrim House. A total of 9 non-compliances were recorded at the centre. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In the case of Ballytrim House, HICWA says significant failings were identified in relation to the governance and management of the service. This created significant risks to residents, impacted on their quality of life and their human rights. Inspectors were not assured that residents were kept safe in this centre. Of the 10 regulations inspected, the centre was found to be non-compliant with 9 of them. There were 7 residents at the centre on the day of the inspection in April of this year. A compliance plan has been produced and is in the process of being implemented. In a statement this afternoon, the HSE acknowledges the findings of the inspection at Ballytrim House and says it wants to reassure the public that the safety and well-being of patients remains its highest priority. The HSE says it's working actively to implement the recommendations in the report to ensure full compliance with regulations. A number of actions, the HSE says, have already been taken. The full statement is available on our website, highlandradio.com.
A defective block owner, homeowner claims he is being discriminated against because he completed remediation works in January 2024. Stephen O'Donnell was one of the first to complete the rebuild of his home. He exceeded the scheme's cap and was waiting on the 10% increase to be retrospectively applied, as was promised last year. However, cut-off date of March 2024 has been applied to that, meaning he doesn't qualify. Mr. O'Donnell believes there are others in the same position. He says this is an injustice that must be addressed.
We are now exempt from this 10% that is coming on board because we were finished 2 months too early. The statistics that I have been given is that there was 43 people finished by that March deadline. Of that there, 20 of them were outer leaf and 23 were full demolitions. Of the 23, only 9 are over that cap. So there's only 9 of us that are in that. I have the information on 2 others and myself. So there's 6 other people who were finished prior to that deadline.
Your issue is you want to get in touch with those people so the 9 of you can get together and make a concerted attempt to contact the Housing Minister, get a campaign going and make sure that you're now included in that payment. You really need them to make contact with you.
Well, absolutely. Well, I need to know the figures. Figures are obviously going to be a big factor, as it's going to be accountants and this, that and the other. It's still only going to be a small percentage of the overall scheme in the end up. And it's a serious injustice for us for being the guinea pigs, basically, at the start of the scheme.
Do we know why that March 24 date was set, given that there are 9 that were over the cap that completed beforehand? Why did they not set a completion date of March 23? This could have all been avoided.
That's a simple answer, but there's a lot of simple answers throughout it. The logic that they come up with is it's a year since they announced the enhanced scheme. This was 1 year later. But anybody who's rebuilding a house, it's tight work to get it done inside a year. So the year was a bit unrealistic, I think.
The US has clearly committed to a 15% tariff rate on pharma, according to the European Commission. That's despite Donald Trump threatening a 250% rate when a national security review is complete. Tariffs on most other sectors came into effect this morning. European Commission spokesman Olaf Gill says the deal struck spelled out the situation in black and white.
We have a clear commitment from the US that our 15% across-the-board tariff ceiling will also capture EU exports of cars and car parts, pharmaceuticals and semiconductors, and we look forward to that being implemented ASAP.
Donegal has received the highest allocation of LIS funding in the latest tranche. €1.6 million has been awarded to the county under the local improvement scheme, bringing the total this year to €2.39 million. The funding goes towards repairs on private roads in rural areas, with Donegal County Council and those residing along the road each providing 10% of the total cost of the works. Junior Minister Charney McConlogue says while today's funding will go some way, more support is needed.
There's significant demand for local improvement scheme roads across Donegal and a significant number of people waiting to have their road done. And the allocation this morning from Minister Dara Cleary is an additional €1.2 million for Donegal, which brings our total now for this year to just around the €2.4 million mark. And that's actually the highest allocation of any county in the country. And it's going to be very needed because I know right across our county there is a significant list of people who are waiting in LIS. It's something now that will have to be considered at council level. But it's welcome to see that we have this additional allocation and that indeed Minister Dara Cleary is recognising the significant demand for this important funding in Donegal.
To hark back to an old Fianna Fáil election campaign slogan, a lot done, more to do. And one of the things we're told on a regular basis is there are so many applications on the books in Donegal, it would take 15, 20 years before they're all tackled. Is it time to look at LIS and say, look, maybe we need to increase the money for this scheme 5, 6, 7-fold?
I think we do need to see a significant increase in funding here. What this funding covers is private roads, which are not under the control of the local authority, are privately owned as such by those who use them. But obviously there's a significant cost involved in terms of the repair, very much beyond the means in the vast majority of instances of those who would use these roads. That's why this funding and having 90% of the cost covered is really important. But there is a significant demand for it, and it is something I believe we need significant additional funding to help address the backlog. The fact that we're the largest and highest allocation in the country is important for Donegal, but there's certainly a lot more to do here.
The occupants of a house in Coleraine have had a lucky escape after a petrol bomb was thrown through the front window of the property. Three people were inside the house in the Maple Drive area when it was attacked at around 1:30 a.m. yesterday. Police say they are working to establish the circumstances of the incident. They're appealing to anyone with information to contact them on the non-emergency number 101. People parking in disabled parking bays have a total disrespect for those with a disability. That's according to Councillor Thomas Sean Devine, who says it's something he has become acutely aware of in recent months. Councillor Devine, on today's 9 till noon show, appealed to motorists to respect disabled parking bays.
Shocking behaviour, to be quite honest, with some motorists, like in delivery drivers, lorries parking in double disabled parking spots in Main Street and Letterkenny. It's an ongoing occurrence. Greg, I've been told, I've witnessed it several times myself. I've actually photos of it on my phone, and it's unbelievable. You know, total disrespect for people with disabilities in their parking spots. There's not enough of these spots in the town to start off with, you know, and what's there? Please, I encourage people that's listening already, please leave them for the people that need them.
Spanish police say they've dismantled a crime group suspected of smuggling marijuana into Ireland. It's estimated the organisation, which allegedly includes Irish, British and Spanish nationals, has trafficked nearly 3 tonnes of marijuana into Ireland in the past 6 years. One person was arrested in County Louth, while 13 others were detained in Spain as part of the investigation by the Spanish National Police, Gardaí and police in the UK. Police say they are not treating the death of a woman in her 70s in a house fire in County Tyrone as suspicious. Emergency services were called to the Derry Cosh Park area of Auchnacloy yesterday evening. The fire was extinguished, however the woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Many workers new to the hospitality industry aren't eager to work late nights, according to the VFI. The Vintners Federation of Ireland says it's disappointed to see a rise in unemployment among young people. New figures from Ipsos show 1 in 10 people aged between 15 and 24 are out of work. President of the VFI, Michael O'Donovan, says the hospitality industry is a way out of unemployment for young people.
People that come in new to the industry want to work early in the morning or, you know, into the afternoon, but want their evenings free. But unfortunately, in our industry, most days the busier periods are, you know, the early afternoon into the early night. So our business is a different business model, and that's what's quite challenging to a lot of them that, I suppose, especially haven't come maybe from a hospitality background themselves.
£2,100 worth of suspected drugs have been seized and a man arrested in Derry. At around 10 past nine last night, officers who were on patrol in the city observed a driver acting suspiciously before colliding with a parked vehicle in an attempt to drive away before then fleeing on foot. A search of a residential address then took place, resulting in the seizure of suspected cocaine and cannabis. The 21-year-old was arrested on suspicion of a number of drug-related offences and remains in custody at this time. Police say inquiries are ongoing. Derry City and Strand District Council has hosted a civic reception for Donegal cyclist Ronan McLaughlin. He recently cycled around Arnhem solo and unsupported to raise awareness for food allergy research and to raise funds for the Natasha Allergy Research Foundation. The Muff man, who enjoyed a distinguished career as a professional cyclist, took on the challenge for his six-year-old daughter, who lives with multiple severe food allergies. Temperatures continue to rise globally despite a drop in the rate of increase. The latest EU climate change study showed last month was the third warmest July ever recorded. There are particular concerns raised about high temperatures in Scandinavia. John Gibbon is an environmental journalist. He says the level of carbon being emitted are still very worrying.
Weather variability will cause slight wobbles in how that is expressed from year to year. The underlying trend is absolutely unequivocal. We're adding, as I said, close to 50 billion tonnes of heat trapping carbon into the atmosphere every year. That means, for example, between now and 2030, we can expect to add another quarter of a trillion tonnes of carbon into the atmosphere.
Highland Radio is the Northwest's most listened to radio station. Today's GNLR figures show 79.7% of the population tune in weekly, representing a year-on-year increase of 3,000 weekly and 2,000 daily listeners. The station continues to dominate with the highest market share in the country at 61.8%, a key metric for advertisers that highlights how long listeners stay tuned in for. Weekend listenership is also on the rise, with Saturday audiences growing to 70,000 and the number of people tuning in on Sundays up by 5,000.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with athletics. Conor Kelly has qualified for the semi-finals of the 400 metres at the European Athletics Under 20 Championships in Finland. The Finn Valley man won his heat on Thursday morning in a time of 46.94 and is set to line out in the semis tomorrow afternoon alongside Irish teammate Sean Doggett, who was second in his heat. There was, however, heartbreak for Ethan Dewhurst of Tyrconnell AC this morning. He was disqualified for a false start in the 400-metre hurdles, but he will return for Ireland, hopefully, in round one of the relay on Saturday. And European Youth Olympic bronze medalist Erin Friel is also part of the 4x400-metre relay team, which are set for track action at the weekend. Finn Valley's Dermot McGranahan is in Finland as a coach to the Irish team. Cross-channel football, and indeed further afield, Jude Bellingham, Cole Palmer, Harry Kane and Declan Rice are all on the shortlist for the best men's player in the world. Scotland's Scott McTominay is also among the Ballon d'Or nominees after helping Napoli to the Italian League title. Liverpool manager Arne Slot and Chelsea's Enzo Maresca are also up for best coach. Premier League champions Liverpool and Club World Cup winners Chelsea also go for the team prize. Liverpool striker Darwin Nunez is expected to undergo a medical ahead of his move to the Saudi Pro League. Al Hilal have agreed an initial €53 million deal with the Premier League champions for the striker. It's thought to see if Nunez would financially boost the Reds' chances of signing Newcastle striker Alexander Isak in the transfer window. And Tottenham have confirmed that midfielder James Maddison will miss most of next season after suffering an anterior cruciate ligament injury. The 28-year-old England international was forced off during a pre-season friendly against Newcastle in South Korea last weekend. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says he's expecting a tough night at the Tallaght Stadium. His Besiktas side go up against St Patrick's Athletic in the third round of qualifying for the Conference League. Solskjaer insists Pats will provide stern opposition.
We're ready for a difficult game. We know coming here, for example, from last year, Başakşehir, 0-0. So we know we have a fight. We have a game that we're playing against a team that's found form.
Kick-off at the Tallaght Stadium is at 7:45. Meanwhile, Shamrock Rovers have made the trip to Kosovo to take on Balkany in their third-round qualifier. That one gets underway at 7:30 Irish time. In golf, Shane Lowry is in action at the St Jude Championship this afternoon. The Claren native is one over par midway through his first round in Memphis. Matt Fitzpatrick is among the trio that share the early lead there on 4 under. Conor Purcell carded an opening round 73 for a one over at the Nexo Championship in Scotland. Richard Stearn is the course leader on 5 under. And Alex Maguire is the co-leader following his opening round at the Irish Challenge at Killincastle in County Meath. He carded a 68 today and is among the 5 golfers sitting on 4 under. Finally, looking ahead to the score programme this evening, former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle runs his eye over the games this Friday for Finn Harps and Derry City. Brendan Kilcoyne takes a look at the opening weekend of the Donegal Senior Club Championship, and we speak with Jerry McCarthy, who's looking to win this weekend's Donegal Ultra 555 race for a third time. It's all part of the score tonight, which is live after the 7 o'clock news, Michaela.
Thanks, Aisín. For weather now, a mix of cloud, sunny spells and scattered showers for the remainder of the day. Lowest temperatures tonight of 10 to 13 degrees and moderate westerly breezes. The closing headlines this evening. Gardaí are seeking to help find a missing teenager who is known to frequent Donegal. 14-year-old Lucy Cawley is missing from Ross's Point in County Sligo. HICWA inspectors say they were not assured that residents of a residential centre for people with disabilities in Donegal were kept safe. Significant failings in terms of governance and management have been identified at Ballytrim House. A defective block homeowner claims he is being discriminated against because he completed remediation work in January of 2024. Stephen O'Donnell was one of the first to complete the rebuild of his home. And Donegal has received the highest allocation of LIS funding in the latest tranche. €1.6 million has been awarded to the county under the local improvement scheme, bringing the total this year to €2.39 million. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Firstly, just a reminder that the Ardra show is on this Saturday with a big, big entry for all the cattle, sheep and horse classes. And there'll be plenty of entertainment, not to mention the always popular vintage tractors and machines, the dog show and lots for all the family. And speaking of shows, the Tullamore show, an FBD National Livestock Show, which is Ireland's premier agricultural event. This is on this coming Sunday. It's Ireland's largest one-day show of its kind and attracts around 60,000 visitors with over 700 trade stands. And no doubt there will be a Donegal presence. Each year it attracts the best cattle, sheep and equine breeders from all over the country. And there's a prize fund of €175,000 on offer with more than 1,000 competitions. One of the highlights will be the Sustainable Livestock Village with a special focus on young farmers, shared learning and innovation. This year, the village will have a number of key areas such as improving water quality, enhancing nature on farms and supporting earlier finishing, all while making sustainability more accessible to farmers on the ground. ICSA Sheep Chair Willie Shaw has said that any move by processors to cut lamb prices in the coming weeks will further infuriate sheep farmers, particularly at a time when supplies have essentially collapsed. After a period of rising lamb prices, they seem to have hit a rocky road, and this is something that he has concerns about.
We have, yes, and unfortunately the upward trend didn't hold very long. We had 2 weeks that it was sort of stable there for a while, but we knew there was three cuts there, one after the other there in the space of 3 weeks, one after the other, and then we 2 weeks the same. But unfortunately, dealing with the factories, we knew that they were going to try and pull something. So we knew there was something in the on the horizon. But like, this would be an annual thing with them. But the difference now is people are getting out of sheep at an alarming rate, or out of yours at an alarming rate. And this is just adding more fuel to the fire. Like,
now, there are some quite, like, I suppose you could call it alarming figures, and I know you've commented on them in the past 18 months or so. We have, well, essentially something in the region of 600,000 fewer sheep have been processed. So that's quite a remarkable figure.
Yeah, well, that's going to continue, unfortunately. We weren't back to 1980s levels with sheep anyway. Like, we were just at the average there for the last few years. I think the average ewe flock in Ireland is 108 ewes. So it's not, we're not talking about factory farming by any means. It's slowly but surely being diminished. The money, unfortunately, like everybody, every sector of Ireland's economy at the moment, the money sounds great, but unfortunately, it no more than pays the bills now at this stage. So the value of money is so poor that it's turning people away from it. It needs to stabilise. Like, there's no business would tolerate. I know farming is unique, but there's no business would tolerate so much uncertainty of what the future is going to bring.
Now, Donegal farmers would, if it had been a few years ago and they were looking at the prices that they're getting now, on the surface of things, the prices have been quite good. But it's really the inputs that have been the big issue.
Huge, yeah. That's the nail on the head there. This is it would have been brilliant a couple of years ago if someone said that lambs were going to be making 160, 170, 180, whatever factory lamb, whatever size you have them, approximately thereabouts. Like, it sounded like a brilliant price, but unfortunately, the costs have eroded any sort of progress that we've made over the last few years there. So, like, bringing them under the 8 euro, when they went weaker than cattle, I know cattle are an exceptional price, but when they went weaker than cattle, like, you'd have to ask, what are our board be or the factories doing to market this lamb? Like, if beef can make it, lamb can make it.
How are our prices compared to our neighbours, our farmers in France? What sort of prices are they getting?
Well, the French lamb is almost 11 euro a kilo. So, like, it's way and above what we could ever hope for. But to compare with most of their lamb is bred and reared inside. So, like, I can't imagine what that costs. So I'd say they need every penny as well. Like, the decline isn't just here in Ireland, it's throughout Europe. Like, it's a high labour, high input product. And so, like, the labour, the help, farming has changed dramatically since I was a young man. Like, the labour isn't there. The help isn't on farms. You're doing most stuff on your own. And so, like, why would you work for pennies, like? We're still processing an awful lot of sheep here in Ireland. Just unfortunately, a lot of it is coming in from overseas.
Yeah, and that is a big issue. The fact that we've had so many exiting the sector, surely we have to meet a point where things hit a rock bottom in that regard, and the departure from the market ends. Are we at a tipping point?
We are, for sure. Yeah.
Well, of course, Irish lamb is a premium product, and then we have some great producer groups around the country. There has to be a future. So what are the policymakers doing about it?
Well, like, we lobbied hard there for umpteen years to get the extra few pound on the sheep welfare scheme. We did manage that there in the last budget. So that is coming. But unfortunately, the extra 5 euro a sheep is not going to make lads stay with sheep. Like, the average farm income, despite what Chagas told us in 2 weeks ago there, whenever that came out there, that we could all retire after this year. The incomes were going to rise that much. Like, the money, when you're making £2.50, if someone tells you you're going to make 50% more this year, you're not going to retire out of that. Like, you know, the money is too small.
So going ahead, the ICSA, no doubt as part of your budget submissions, you will be looking for more help and assistance for the sheep sector.
Definitely. The sheep welfare scheme and the sheep improvement scheme both need to be strengthened. Just to hold on to what we have, if anything could be learned from the suckler tobacco, the suckler cow was taken over hand over fist, and now all of a sudden we've no real good beef cattle in Ireland anymore, or we've a very small percentage in comparison to what we had 10 years ago. There's no point crying over spilt milk. Like, when they're gone, they're gone. People won't get back into yours. They'll go on and do something else.
So, in conclusion, Willie, what's the immediate outlook looking like for lamb prices? Can you see much of a change?
Well, I can't understand why the factories won't. Like, if they explain to us why the market, as they say, is soft, then why are they bringing in British lamb in carcass form here to be chopped up? Like, if it's that soft, then why are they doing that? Like, it beggars belief. Now the shipper men are starting to small bit there now again, so hopefully that might help to keep them from sliding down further.
And that was ICSA Sheep Chair Willie Shaw. In other news, Irish beef prices are within 4 cent a kilo of UK prices for the first time since 2022. Factory prices are being forced upwards by plummeting supplies of finished cattle. And the numbers of finished cattle available to buy in March last week also dropped. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, this has left some factories unable to source enough cattle to fill their contracts. Meanwhile, suckler weanlings continue to increase in price on the back of huge exporter demand and increased farmer buyer activity in recent weeks. Weanlings are up over €880 a head in a year. Finally, a new booklet entitled All You Need to Know About Equine Identification and Traceability has just been launched by Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, August 7th. The death has taken place of William John Liam Porter, 36, Brayfield, Clody, County Derry, and formerly of Buncrana and Athy, County Kildare, reposing at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, 414A, Ballyquin Road, Dungiven, this evening from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Funeral from his late home tomorrow afternoon, leaving at 1:30 for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Clody, interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family flowers only. Donations if wished in lieu to the WHSCT Sparing Unit, Elton Galvin, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. The death has occurred of Patrick O'Donnell, also known as Jock MacDonald Scotland, formerly of Rossbeg. His remains will repose at Shovelin's Funeral Home Sandfield, Ardrah, tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 until 4:45, followed by removal to St. Connell's Church, Kilclooney, travelling via Rossbeg, Port New, arriving at 6 p.m. Funeral Mass will take place at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Patrick's Funeral Mass will be live streamed on Shovelin's Funeral Home Facebook page. The death has taken place of Michael McGarry, Rathdonnell Letterkenny. Michael's remains are reposing at his late residence today until 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjacent cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Charles McClafferty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Joseph White, the Water's Edge, River Row, Moville. John's remains are reposing at his home until 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with St. Pius X Church Moville, followed by private cremation in Lakelands Crematorium Cavan. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on MovilleParish.com. The family home is private on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Cree, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Bernadette Logue Corvish Cairn Dunna. Bernadette's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church Cairn Dunna, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on CairnDunnaParish.com. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice or the Alzheimer Society of Ireland, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Mary Fury, the Hill Kelly Beggs and formerly of Dubin Glenties, County Donegal, reposing at her daughter Patricia's residence, Fintra Road, Kelly Beggs, until 9 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Removal on Saturday morning at 10:30 to St. Mary of the Visitation Church, Kelly Beggs, for 11 a.m. funeral mass, which will be streamed live on mcn.live. Burial afterwards in Frost's Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.